What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's not necessarily new. I think it's evolving more and more. But it could get to a breaking point. I don't think this is incorrect on your part, JJ, that eventually, you know, it could be too much of that and we start to miss some of the things that can be picked up at the field.
Here we go. It is Hot Sheet from Baseball America. Scotty Braun along with BA's JJ Cooper and Jeff Ponce. Good to see you both and happy postseason to you both as well. You excited about it? Yeah, let's go, Jeff. You excited about the postseason, man?
I am. I think it's a wide open postseason too. You know, I feel like I look at all these matchups. I look at really the only team I'd be skeptical if they made it to the next round is the Braves. But just because I said that, that means the Braves are probably going to make another World Series run.
I'll just warn y'all, if you see me look back like that, it's not because I'm not locked in. It's because I've got the game going on right behind me. So every now and then I'm going to have to check back there to see, you know, Tigers Astros to start it off. This is awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, we'll see some upsets most likely in this wild card round. I mean, you'll see them probably in every round. The baseball playoffs are super unpredictable, but so are the awards to some extent, especially when it comes to Rookie of the Year in the National League. But overall, let's get to Baseball America's 2024 awards. And JJ, just like we did last week on the minor league side, I'll kick it to you to start with the announcements here. So would you like to begin with Rookie of the Year, who is also the October cover athlete for BA?
Absolutely. So our Rookie of the Year, we pick one for both leagues. So we only get one shot at this. We've been doing this for years. And again, we want our Rookie of the Year to have staying power. There are years where maybe ours will differ a little bit from where it depends on what you do as a rookie. Obviously, let me make clear on this. But like, there's a year where we picked Andrew McCutchen, and I think the NLBBWAA was Chris Coughlin. We want ours to have staying power as well. That's not a problem this year because it was a truly wonderful year for rookies. Obviously, we have many great candidates. I would say that you have Jackson Churio, you have Jackson Merrill, and you have Paul Skeens, who kind of stood a notch above the rest. And at the end of the day, we chose Paul Skeens on the heels of his truly dominant and amazing rookie season for the Pirates. Here we are, a pitcher who was the number one pick in the draft just last year, and he goes out and posts a sub-2 ERA as the ace of not just the Pirates staff, but really one of the best pitchers in baseball, a National League Cy Young contender. I don't think he's going to win it, but absolutely fits in that mix. And Jeff, I know we've kind of had a fun debates about this. You were Merrill at some points. I think you kind of ended up with Skeens at the end like I did. How tough was this in your mind?
I think it was really tough because, I mean, you're talking about a top 15 player in baseball this year in Jackson Merrill. You know, certainly somebody that I think the expectations, though we ranked Merrill highly and thought of Merrill as a very good prospect, maybe on the cusp of the elite prospects in the game, tried a new position. I think we were questionable how the offense would translate, not somebody that puts up huge walk rates. You know, there is a little bit of chase in Merrill's game. Some questions about how the power would play long term. I think all those questions were answered. I think, you know, one of the things weighing in his favor, if you just don't look at it from a statistical standpoint, is all the clutch hits and the big moments that he had for that Padres team. And I think, you know, if he does end up winning, you know, the actual, you know, NL Rookie of the Year award, I would imagine that's probably going to be the justification for a lot of people. That said, once Skeens came up to the big leagues, you know, 19 starts since June 1st, he's the ERA leader in all of baseball. He's a top three pitcher in terms of WAR in all of baseball. Since that point, only Chris Sale and Michael King, just by a fraction, according to F4, he was 3.7. Skeens was 3.6. I think when you think about the making the jump from the SEC, really spending very little time in the minor leagues, you know, altogether, and then comes up to the big leagues and dominates. And I think if we look back on it, if the Pirates had wanted to and were willing to start Skeens in the major leagues in April, I'm not sure it would be much of a contest just based on the performance we saw over those 19 starts from June on. He held his stuff. You know, there weren't really any big hiccups or speed bumps. I mean, the ERA was what it was because he dominated so consistently and put a team that really had no business even being in the playoff race at any point in the season, sort of on his back and into that playoff race without much of an offense. So I think Skeens was really, really valuable. It would shock me if he doesn't get some Cy Young votes. Though, as you said, I don't think he's going to take down the award.
The best way I would say with both of these is if you choose Merrill, I'm not going to argue that you might not be right, because he's had a truly remarkable year. He's been a key to the Padres being as good as they have been. I don't want to knock Skeens for the fact that the supporting cast around Paul Skeens is not nearly as good as the supporting cast around Jackson Merrill. And Skeens, obviously, every time he went out there, did everything he could do. He was, quite simply, he is right now already one of the best pitchers in baseball. And to do that as a rookie is truly remarkable. These are, again, two very, very exceptional rookie seasons. Two guys who should be among the best players in baseball for years to come. But Paul Skeens, what he did as a rookie to just come out and be as dominant as he was and really kind of carry that team at times. That team obviously did not have a whole lot of offense, but when Paul Skeens was on the mound, didn't matter a whole lot because Paul Skeens wasn't going to give up runs.
Mm-hmm. And it's an award that our next guest on Hot Sheet hopes to maybe be a part of someday and is excited to obviously get up to the show at some point soon. We'll ask him about it right now. Jaden Hamm joining us, Tigers fifth round pick from 2023. And Jaden, it's great to have you on here. Happy postseason and, you know, end of the season for you. How you doing while you kind of celebrate and reflect on what you just did in the minor leagues while also checking out the big league club in the playoffs with one of the better comebacks in the standings that we've seen in some time?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are y'all guys doing?
Really good. Really good. You locked in on these games?
Oh, that's what I was watching right before I got on here. Tigers took the lead right before I got on here, so hopefully keep it up.
Hey, what kind of communication do you have with anyone involved, whether it's with the big league organization or is there like a group chat with some of the minor leaguers that are, you know, excited about what's happening here?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the guys that were in West Michigan with me all this past year, we're all rooting for the guys. I know we got to hang around Joe when he did a rehab start with us. And so, like, we're rooting for guys like that that we actually got to spend time with this season.
Jaden, kind of along those lines, it's got to be the vibes around the Tigers overall have to be really good right now. Y'all won a couple of minor league titles this year. The big league club has had its best year in years. A lot of young core, you know, you can kind of see the path because you've seen other guys kind of take that path from West Michigan and on to the big leagues. How does it feel kind of to be a Tiger these days?
Oh, it feels amazing, especially like you just said, with the big league team doing exactly what they're doing. I mean, now our organization feels like we can compete with the best, and, you know, it's spread amongst the minor leagues, and everybody's excited top to bottom.
So we talked a little bit about, you know, what's going on with the Tigers. I want to talk a little bit more specifically about you. I was down there on the west coast of Florida during spring training. You know, I was there for a month. So I saw that entire pod, saw you pitch, you know, once. You were the guy that scouts in the backfields were most frequently sort of, you know, pointing to and saying, hey, this is a guy you got to pay attention to. This is a potential breakout. What sort of things did you work on coming into the season? Changes that potentially the Tigers might have put in place that you feel put you and set you up for a successful season?
I mean, I think the most important was the consistency part. Just having all the pitches in the zone all at once, you know, so hitters have to respect. They don't really know what's going to come at them. And so I think that was the biggest adjustment going from college to pro ball, was just dialing in the pitches that I had and, you know, kind of taking what the Tigers had said with, you know, riding the fastball at the top and seeing what happened. And it really paid off for me.
Jaden, you mentioned that, like, you know, ride the fastball at the top. Your command, your control seems to have taken a step forward. Is that more kind of a pitch selection thing, or is that more like you've made some adjustments that have helped you kind of dial in that control a little bit more?
I think it's more the fact that, you know, trying to set sights and stuff, you know, targets to aim at with the catcher getting back down there. You know, our pitching department, catching department really work well together, and the catcher setting up the exact same every time. So it was easy for me just to be able to look at a target back there and try to just execute a pitch through that target. And I think that was a huge step for me this year.
Looking forward to the off season and, you know, are there goals, you know, in terms of, you know, you're trying to add velocity, something that you want to improve. What are sort of the goals and what do you have your sights set on heading into 2025?
Yeah, the goals definitely for this off season are, you know, to put on a little bit more muscle mass, just so I can keep sustaining a full season. You know, I mean, as you go up, everybody knows the seasons get longer. So just trying to be able to sustain those seasons over and over and, you know, try to keep the velo up. I had a little bit of a dip towards, you know, the end of July. And I think that was just kind of like what I call the freshman year funk. You know, you hit that wall a little bit. And, you know, freshman year of college, you kind of do that your first full pro season. So I think I just want to really, you know, hone in on that and not have any of those velocity drops. That way my stuff continues to play at its peak.
How do you do that? So when you're laying out your plans here, say, for example, to bulk up, what's the, you know, modern way to do that in an organization? Like, do they go over that with you before you jump, you know, and head into your off season on your own? Are there like specific plans worked out as in depth as, here's the exact workout that you should be doing and where. Here's what you should be eating and when.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, we met with the strength department before we went home and then also the nutrition department. And it was kind of just like, you know, for me, it's like, you know, work on vertical jump, you know, force, you know, going up. And so that'll translate going down the mound and, you know, putting on, you know, 5 pounds. And the nutrition part is like, you know, make sure you get your protein in. And so it was really just the fact of focusing on how much protein I can intake into a day. And also, you know, they've set up our workouts for us. So that's also super easy and convenient for me.
We know that nowadays, you know, baseball is truly a 12-month a year job. You're going to be working the entire offseason to be getting ready for 25. But now that it is the offseason, what are also you looking forward to doing now that you're kind of out of the grind of, you know, the day-to-day of basically this, you know, pitching every fifth day, but also being out there at the ballpark every day. What do you enjoy doing kind of in the off season a little bit as well?
Yeah. The most recent thing I'm looking forward to is me and my family are going to the beach next week. So take a little time off. First time I get to go to the beach with them in like 5 years with the college fall ball season and then, you know, pro ball season last year. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, you know, just being able to get out in the woods and hunt. I like hunting deer and ducks and geese and stuff like that. So just trying to be outside as much as possible away from the baseball field.
Hey, Jaden, who do you like to watch around the league, right? Like, so when you have a game and then, you know, you're kicking it at home after the game, do you watch any particular pitchers if you see them on the slate for that night? Or do you watch any even clips on YouTube, say, of pitchers where you want to just see how they work and try and pick something up from them?
I think, you know, being at the field all day and being at the baseball field all day, it's not really like I'm looking forward to, you know, watching somebody when I get home, but I do enjoy checking in on the Tigers, obviously seeing what they're doing, especially with the young core and then all the new pitchers and young guys that, you know, I might've been watching before I got drafted. And, you know, everybody was watching Paul Skenes this year. So I was always checking in to see what he was doing. But yeah, I mean, when I get home, I glance to see what's on, and if it's a close game or whatever, I'll turn it on. Just nothing really in particular.
Jaden, one other thing I want to ask you is obviously you mentioned it. You got 99 innings in the Midwest League. That's a very significant kind of step, getting, you know, a full season in like that. But facing the guys you did in that league, who kind of jumped out? Who was the guy that you're like, oh, he's stepping into the box. Okay, I know this is going to be a battle. This is a guy who I've, you know, you faced a couple of times at least in the year where you're like, okay, this guy's really a fun challenge because this guy really knows how to hit.
Yeah, I mean, we there throughout the Midwest League, there's a lot of top prospects. So, you know you're facing guys, dudes in and out. But I think the guy that keeps coming up is Arian Namo for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. For me, I had a start against there, against him at Wisconsin, and I looked up and I'd faced him three times, and he had three doubles off me, off of different pitches. So it's kind of just like the pitching coach kind of, it was kind of funny because I came in the dugout and he was just like, you know, the last two times that you faced him, those were both executed pitches, and he ended up hitting them down the left field line for doubles. So just, I don't really know what to tell you.
Sometimes you that.
Yeah, right. That guy's good. That's what you learn there. Okay, I got really one and a half more. One is, you know, have you talked to at all about when is the time, like in your head, that you'd get the call to the show, especially with the way that most teams are aggressively moving their really prospects through the ranks so that they can test them out in the big leagues and even develop there much further. I think there's a lot more developing going on at the big league level these days. And also for teams even to say, hey, if there happens to be adjustments that need to be made, then we send the guy down, we bring him back up again. Obviously it's not ideal, but just curious to your thoughts as to a timeline that's in your head or maybe that you've discussed with the organization.
Yeah, I mean, there's really been no discussion with the organization, kind of like the end goal. But I mean, goals for me personally, obviously going into spring training this year, I want to be able to, you know, be put on the AA roster to start the next season and then, you know, have a good start there and kind of see where things lead. Maybe, you know, end up in AAA at the end of next year and then, you know, the following year really start in AAA and then make the debut or, you know, get invited to big league camp and then start there. So, you know, the goal is definitely within the next 2 years for myself, but, you know, I know the organization, they're doing things the right way right now. So I'm just going to trust in what they have for me.
Yeah. Last one. It's exciting. And we mentioned him here earlier, but what do you think of Jackson Jobe as one of the top pitching prospects in the sport, getting rewarded at the end of the season with a call up, pitching out of the bullpen, and now being selected to the postseason roster? How cool is that for someone like him to get this opportunity here late in the year and for the Tigers not to be worried about, you know, service time or not rushing him or anything? Like, no, screw it. This guy's good. He's one of the better pitching prospects in the sport. Let's see if he can help us win a World Series.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he deserves it. I mean, he totally had dominated all year. You know, I think he would have been up there a lot sooner had he not had his little injury that he had this year and had to, you know, go through rehab. So, no, he definitely did everything he could on his side and got rewarded. So I'm super happy for that guy. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah, same here. You know, we've talked to him on Foul Territory in the past. So, Jaden, awesome having you on here on Hot Sheet. Good luck in the offseason. Bulk up, hit up that protein, some good steak dinners. Get out there, enjoy the beach, the hunting, the whole deal. And we'll catch you in spring training, right?
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate you. That's Jaden Hamm with us on Baseball America Hot Sheet. That was fun. Good stuff, guys. We're going to swing. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just interject? Oh, to be young and a premium athlete where it's like, okay, you know what my offseason is? I've got to really eat. I've got to pack on the protein. You know, middle-aged life is not that way. You know, I've got to I don't have such pleasures of like, oh man, I got to really gain some good weight this offseason.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Just got to stick to the protein and veggies, JJ. You know, you'll be fine.
Yeah, paleo diet, no big deal. He'll nail it. So, all right, let's get back to the awards. So, you know, we covered Paul Skenes as the Rookie of the Year. What about the Baseball Player of the Year overall in Major League Baseball? Just like you mentioned, JJ, there's one, not two, not per league, just one. And the winner is?
The winner is Aaron Judge. And, okay, I'm just going to tell you, Shohei Ohtani fans, I get it. He had an incredible year. It absolutely was a remarkable year. It is worthy of praise, all that. That being said, this one was actually easier. The year that Aaron Judge has, when you consider the fact, if Ohtani had been pitching as well, I feel like this would have been probably a very tough call. But a year where Ohtani's a DH, so all of his contribution is coming offensively from as a hitter. In a year where Aaron Judge is also playing in the field, then you're going to need to be better than Aaron Judge offensively. And Aaron Judge, quite simply, was better offensively. Yes, Ohtani had more steals, but when you look at Aaron Judge, who was better in batting average, better in on base, better in slugging, better in home runs, you know, which was kind of a key part of both of their seasons. Aaron Judge just quite simply had, yet again, one of the great seasons we've seen in Major League Baseball history. He is in the middle of a stretch where he has been one of the most productive hitters we've ever seen in Major League Baseball. And you don't, nowadays, we don't even have to put caveats on that. You know, let's be honest. We had to put caveats on some of those guys in the late 90s and early aughts when we were talking about these great seasons. Aaron Judge is just doing this year after year. Yes, I know that Yankee Stadium is a very good place to hit home runs. Yes, I also know that Aaron Judge basically hit half of his home runs on the road, which doesn't matter what park Aaron Judge is in. He's just quite simply one of the best hitters we've ever seen. And he's in the middle of a stretch that is truly remarkable. Aaron Judge is Baseball America's 2024 Major League Baseball Player of the Year.
You know, I'll say this, Jeff. Aaron didn't rate particularly well in center field, but the bar is set very high for players out there. And I just want to think back to a time period not long ago where there were oversized shortstops, like, oh, that guy's too big to be a shortstop. We got to move him over to third. And, you know, obviously that got wiped away. It started with, you know, the Cal Ripken days, but then continued on. We've got guys like Corey Seager, Manning, shortstop, right? Now you go to center field and you're like, hey, if you're a monster, you still could play center field if you're a good enough athlete. Look at Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely true. And I think we're seeing that translate more and more on the amateur side of guys getting opportunities, guys that are getting drafted into pro ball that maybe were right fielders that, you know, do have athleticism. And I think, you know, there's something to be said for bigger guys who run pretty well. You're not going to see it in the home to first times, but you will see it, you know, in sprint speed and some of those metrics. The NFL is looking at stuff like this now. It's top speed and the ability to cover a lot of ground. And Judge has that. Now, the other point I want to make is I love Shohei Ohtani. I think he's the most talented baseball player that I've ever watched in my 42 years on earth. But he would not be number two for me either. It would be Bobby Witt Jr. I think when you consider the numbers that he put up at shortstop, the supporting cast around him, what that Royals team has done to really exceed expectations, I think the tougher question was really Judge versus Bobby Witt Jr. because Bobby Witt Jr. plays, you know, a premium shortstop. It's a premium position, is really good at that. But the thing is, at the end of the day, offensively, Aaron Judge had like a top 10 offensive season, at least post-war offensive season. And I mean post-World War, not the war stat. I don't know how you necessarily put anybody above this guy. Judge was a Superman this year at the plate. Obviously has a good cast around him, hits in a good ballpark. But as JJ said, there's no ballpark in the world that's keeping this guy, you know, in the park consistently. Maybe some of the home run totals go down and aren't quite what they are, but he has mammoth power. He controls the zone. He gets on base more than Witt or Ohtani do, which has some value, of course. I think when you just look at the totality of Judge's season, he's the easy answer. But there's three really super, you know, great superstar players that put up, you know, all-time, you know, noteworthy performances this season. Maybe in another season where, you know, there isn't a Judge, or Judge gets injured, or Witt doesn't perform at the level that he does, I think Ohtani definitely is an MVP caliber season. If he's pitching again next season and is able to repeat these sort of numbers, I think that's a totally different conversation and probably pushes him over the top if he's making 25 starts and doing what Ohtani can do on the mound.
The only other thing I just wanted to add with this is to kind of go at Scott's point. Judge's ability to play center field, even to a semi-adequate level, is kind of crucial to, I think, to this Yankees team, the team that has made the postseason here. Because obviously, with flanked by Juan Soto and Alex Verdugo, now Jason Dominguez, maybe every now and then, you know, Stanton goes out there. There's no one else to do it. This is his ability to do this as a, you know, on the other side of 30 to still play center field has kind of been crucial to this Yankees team because they don't really have a whole lot of other good options out there. And that's kind of another remarkable part of this is, yeah, he probably is better in right field, you know, kind of ideally, that's kind of more prototypically where he would fit. But his ability to do that, you know, when they needed him to, really does stand out. And again, does speak to the athleticism of Judge as well.
All right, well, congrats to Paul Skenes, Baseball America's Rookie of the Year, and Aaron Judge, the Player of the Year in the Major Leagues. So let's finish with a recent J.J. Cooper article. And you know I love these types of articles that really go in-depth on what's going on within organizations. So, J.J., can you tee up your article labeled Teams Cutting MLB Scouts Are Losing Their Hidden Edge?
Yeah, so unfortunately, it's kind of a trend these days is that we get to the end of the regular season, we get to the end of the season, and there are stories out there. We're hearing, you know, from people we know in the game that this scout's being let go, or this scout, or this team's cutting back on, especially pro scouting, I would say even more so than anywhere else. And the point that I wanted to kind of cover in this story is we kind of know why this is happening. And I don't think in a lot of cases it's even necessarily a refutation of pro scouting as much as it is that there's a pot of money for baseball operations and there are more hands kind of going to that pot with the rise of biomechanical analysts and biomech programs and look at sports science departments. And, you know, we went from having a trainer at every level to having nutritionists and multiple trainers and, you know, off-season crews and all this, and all these things are very good for baseball. But at the same time, it does seem like that pro scouting is kind of the where, okay, well, we got to make some cutbacks. So sometimes it seems like pro scouting is the one that kind of takes the hit for that. And the point that I was just trying to make with this is when you do that, you are kind of losing a chance to kind of have some edges, some hidden edges, because as valuable as all these different aspects are, as valuable as the analytics are and the data, one thing that does stand out about this is everyone's kind of now using the same, they're looking at the same data. You can pull different, you can glean different things from it. And there are advantages to be found there. We've seen multiple examples of that over the years. However, the window for which kind of that hold on to that advantage is pretty small. Because once you do, everyone else can look at the data, figure out what you're doing. A couple of years ago, remember when the Yankees kind of adopted the sweeping slider and then everyone else had sweepers within a few months because those kind of advantages kind of disappear pretty quickly. And the thing with evaluative advantages is they are a little harder to replicate. There are ways to very well blend the two, use kind of all these disciplines together. And that's why I do kind of would argue that teams are running the risk of losing as they cut back on the pro scouting departments, especially.
Yeah, and I feel, you know, it's a point well made. And, you know, I think we definitely see on the amateur side that, you know, there isn't enough video, there isn't enough data to really handle those operations from a remote location. If you're scouting a D3 guy, you're not going to have the video, you're not going to have the data, you want to have boots on the ground there. There's also elements in terms of bringing somebody into your organization and getting a good feel for what the personality's like, what the work ethic is like. You know, how serious they are around that pregame work and the type of extra reps, et cetera, that you see players take. I think what's happened on the pro side is, you know, when they factor in travel, when they factor in all these other things, and there is clean data on the pro side, it's been adjusted. There's a model on the pro side that's obviously been adjusted for all these different elements. And there is a treasure trove of video from a variety of angles. It's very easy to cut back on a pro scouting department, bring those jobs internally, and you don't necessarily miss a ton. I do think there are elements like you cited that do get missed, but I think just playing devil's advocate a little bit here, I think it is also, you know, maybe they can bring in an extra analyst. They can handle more games and see more of the league and more different levels from a remote location. I'll even say from my own personal experience here at Baseball America, I love getting out to the park. It's my favorite thing to do. But getting out to the park at the Cape, there's a lot more that I can take away, or when I'm at Boston College or some of these other colleges in New England, there's a lot more that I can take away from that experience than I necessarily take away from a pro scouting experience. When I can go home, I can sit in my basement, I can watch three or four full games on that night, see three or four different pitchers, a bunch of different lineups, and write notes on 10 to 15 players in a given evening. And, you know, it's just rinse and repeat over and over again. And then, of course, because of some of our great sources that we have, I have the ability to then reference a lot of that stuff against data. So I can see what the benefits are, and I've adopted my process much more, knowing that I don't always have to be at the park. There's some personal reasons for that, as I have three kids. I like to be home. I like to be able to go to their sporting events, et cetera. But I do think that there's a lot of work that can be done within the office. And I think we've seen a handful of teams do this. I know it's something that the Red Sox have definitely invested in very heavily. And I think even dating back to when Lou Now was in charge of the Astros, they tried a lot of this stuff. So it's not necessarily new. I think it's evolving more and more, but it could get to a breaking point. I don't think this is incorrect on your part, JJ, that eventually, you know, it could be too much of that and we start to miss some of the things that can be picked up at the field.
And that's where I would say, yeah, there is some nuance to this. It doesn't mean necessarily that you need to have, you don't need a lot of the information collection component that was pro scouting 20 years ago. Obviously, it has to change. That's where I'm kind of laying out, like, hey, if you're using pro scouts properly, you're not using them for that. You're using them, some of, you know, doing some, you know, video plus in person, kind of blending it all together. But what you're ideally using them is you can almost think of them as stock analysts. And so, the key component, you can test this out as well, where you can say, like, hey, who are we light on? Who is our model light on? Use it to correct things that are flaws in models. Every model has flaws. Using it where you understand that kind of you can have these professional skeptics that in a productive way are helping to point out, like, hey, this is not being reflected here, or I feel like this is not coming through properly. Using them that way is going to really kind of help make a difference in kind of a team winning. And that's where I do think you can put these really, you know, experienced evaluators to the test and find that, oh, this is way more than a coin flip, you know, with their predictions. It's not going to be 50-50. This is going to be something where these scouts are going to be able to tell you, here are the players who are going to be more highly valued a year from now. Here are the ones who are more likely to be less valued a year from now. Kind of use that arbitrage to kind of figure out, oh, these are players we want to acquire. These are players maybe we're better off trading now because they're probably at their peak value. Things like that, I do think are a key part of where teams can still get that hidden edge from scouting.
And I encourage everyone to check out the article in Baseball America. Go get yourself a subscription if you don't have one already. Please subscribe to this channel if you're checking out this video or watching it for the first time. We also have the Baseball America podcast page. All the content's free on there on the podcast page. Just subscribe to it. You can listen to Hot Cheat on the go. We'll be here all off season long too. So make sure you tune in on Tuesdays for fresh episodes. And happy postseason, everyone. We'll see you on the next one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.